This is The Blade and Beyond with the DC Dynamic Duo. Learn every detail about life on both ends of the knife. And now, live from Washington, D.C., your hosts, board-certified facial plastic surgeon, Dr. Michael Somernick, and board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Troy Pittman.
Just a little ABBA to bring us into Sunday afternoon.
Okay, happy Sunday. I love ABBA.
This reminds me of when Cher was doing the Mamma Mia.
Waterloo!
I love imitating Cher.
Yes, I do.
No! It is Sunday, January 23rd. Welcome to The Blade and Beyond. I'm Dr. Troy Pittman.
And I am Dr. Michael Somernick. We're doing this on a Sunday afternoon, so we have a glass of red wine.
What is this wine?
Remember, I'm part of the Angel Wine Fund. So I donate my money monthly to small little angel vineyards. I'm the angel, not them. And we get bottles of wine that they make, small batches.
But is this just like house wine?
It says American red, so it's nothing special. Why do you not like it?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Hi.
Hello.
We're back after 2 weeks. We took last week off because we were at our friend's wedding in Miami, which was amazing. Congratulations to Jimmy and Joe, who got married last weekend. Their wedding was like the Great Gatsby.
Oh my God. It was at the Deering Estate in Miami, which is this private estate that they now use for events. And I can only imagine what it was like living there when it was like a full-time estate.
Because
it is gorgeous on the water with like numerous acres. And it was just a beautiful day.
And then thanks to American Airlines, we almost didn't make it back in time for the week because all of the American Airlines employees have COVID apparently and weren't showing up for work. So we had two flights canceled and finally went to a different airport and got on a United flight to go to a different airport. It was like planes, trains, and automobiles getting back to DC.
Yeah, American Airlines and I are not getting along right now. We're in a tough part of our relationship. I'm almost breaking up with them. And that says a lot, being an executive platinum member for the fourth year in a row now.
Yeah.
So we have loyalty to them, but they need to pull their it together.
Yeah, it will beep you out later. So we had a busy week this week. We were in the operating room every day, including yesterday. We did a great combo case, Saturday morning combo case. And apparently I'm the only person that likes working on Saturdays.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy to operate on this lovely lady and we had a great time. Her surgery went well, but I would much prefer a cup of coffee on the sofa than working on a Saturday.
I like operating on Saturdays because with COVID, it's like we have nothing to do. So it's like when they say we have a surgery on Saturday, I'm like, oh, I have somewhere to go.
I'm fine with doing nothing some days. But anyway. Okay. So one of the things that I'm very excited about that happened this past week, aside from us being very busy, is you are nominated as top doctor of Northern Virginia Magazine.
Yeah, that was like such a shock. So Northern Virginia Magazine contacted me. I got named Top Doc 2022 for plastic surgery, and that's nominated by your peers. So thanks for all of the Northern Virginia doctors who voted for me.
I'm ear cheersing you with my glass of wine.
Yes, we could.
Well,
real
we could
cheer.
Probably clang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good. Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. So first topic today, we're going to be talking about liposuction, tummy tuck, or both. And this is a question that I get a lot in the office for patients who are coming in and they're saying, I have fullness in my abdomen. I think most commonly what I see are patients with extra fat, extra skin, and they come in and they say, I'm interested in liposuction. And
both men and women.
Both men and women. And liposuction does not take care of skin laxity in most patients. So,
but you do the phaser.
You're not allowed to talk about the face until I finish my thought.
I'm not, no, but I'm saying phaser. I don't use phaser. I'm just bringing
so
it up.
So phaser has been great for younger patients with mild skin laxity because phaser does use that ultrasound energy, which is delivered as heat, and it tightens the skin. So for a 25-year-old with a little problem area, we liposuction that fat pocket, and it's not like that skin is loose. That skin is tightened. But where I see patients who really need skin contouring or muscle contouring are particularly massive weight loss patients. So men and women who have lost a tremendous amount of weight and they've kind of deflated. So they come in with extra skin, or women who have been pregnant and their abdominal wall has stretched out and they develop a condition called diastasis recti. So that's where the paired abdominal muscles, which are supposed to be side by side, those stretch with pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So that little membrane in between the ab muscles stretches out and it doesn't go back. And so women,
that's different than skin laxity, though.
It is. So women will come in and they may or may not have skin laxity after having a baby, but they have kind of that round kind of pot belly look. And so for those patients, liposuction and skin removal aren't even appropriate because those muscles have to be put back together in the midline. So we surgically put those muscles back together to tighten the wall. I have to cough.
Oh, geez. It's not
COVID,
is it?
It's not COVID. I think the wine went down the wrong way. So when we're doing abdominal wall surgery and tightening those muscles, that's really tightening the wall. Just taking that skin, they're always going to have that roundness to their belly if we don't address the muscles. But when we're talking about liposuction versus tummy tuck, liposuction and tummy tuck do two different things. Liposuction is meant to debulk fat. Mm-hmm. It's not a weight loss procedure. And so patients need to have optimized their diet and their exercise. You know, I see a lot of guys who have flank fat.
Everyone's got a love handle.
Yeah, those little like love handles, particularly with guys, because you can be in great shape and you have that flank fat. There's not much you can do in that area to really work out. And so that's a great area for just liposuction. You just basically empty that out and the skin will contract. But if there is a significant amount of skin, so if you can kind of pinch that skin and it's sitting over your belt line, whether you're a male or a female, that skin needs to be removed. And that really is done with a skin removal procedure or a tummy tuck.
Liposuction. I'm pinching right now, and I feel a little bit.
Stop.
So
we're not even going to entertain this. Okay.
Okay.
Fine. So that's where we kind of, liposuction is meant to take care of fat. Tummy tuck is meant to take care of skin or abdominal wall laxity. It depends on age. Some patients who are older, their skin doesn't really have the ability to contract. Even with Vaser, they're not going to get enough skin contracture. And so they'll benefit from a little skin removal surgery. So liposuction we do through poke holes. Skin removal, we actually have to make an incision.
You're going to love this next statement because this is kind of like the neck when we do submental liposuction. Mm. And a lot of the times, if the patient's older, removing the fat leaves them with excess skin. So I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I know. So again, welcome to The Blade and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about facial plastic surgery and sometimes body, because I have a hijacker on board most days.
But most of the time you combine lipo with a tummy tuck. It's rare to just do a tummy tuck.
Well, and it's rare to do just a tummy tuck. It's not rare to do lipo. I mean, we do lipo all the time.
Right.
I love a procedure called lipoabdominoplasty. Yeah. Lipoabdominoplasty is great because we liposuction the upper midline. So if you think about that fatty pad above the belly button, we liposuction that to thin that out. Because when we do the tummy tuck, the skin above the belly button is advanced down. And so all of the skin between the belly button and the pubic hair, all of that is removed. And so we want to do liposuction to the upper abdomen so that the belly or the skin is thin. It gives you a better contour. And then I'll do the flanks at the same time, to give women a more defined waist. We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I don't like to give men with male tummy tucks a more defined waist because it feminizes them.
Now, what is the recovery really like with tummy tucks? I see all these post-ops of yours come in. They're hunched over. They're not in pain, but they like can't stand up straight. So,
well, they can't stand up straight for the first 72 hours.
Oh, that's
so
it.
And that's really to take pressure off of the incision. Liposuction downtime, you're back at the gym 10 days. Everything is done through little pokes. You should expect to be swollen, bruised for about 10 days. It does take about 3 months to see the final result of liposuction. Tummy tuck is a little bit more of an investment. So you have to kind of take pressure off that incision. You have surgical drains. The drains come out over the course of about 10 days.
Why do we need drains for this?
Because there's a lot of, particularly if we're doing lipoabdominoplasty, that numbing medicine that we put in for the liposuction, we want all of that out. Because keeping that fluid in can cause swelling. It can cause something called a seroma or a fluid collection. So we leave drains to really minimize the amount of swelling that's going on. And it hastens recovery. The drains are a little bit annoying, but it does hasten the recovery.
Right. So if we're talking about, you know, realistically, like, you're coughing a lot. I think we need to test you.
I know. I need to take a break.
I'm taking a same day health. But if we're talking about combining both procedures, you know, I think that a lot of women get into this sort of mindset that they only want lipo after they've had 2 and 3 children when, you know, just look at the logistics of stretching, contracting. There's no
and stretch
way
marks.
That, well, regardless of the stretch marks, there's no way that the skin's going to contract to the point where they have this like flat abdomen if you don't do some type of tummy tuck procedure on them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. And at the bottom line is coming in and just doing liposuction for a woman with abdominal wall laxity and excess skin, she's not going to get a good result and she's not going to be happy. And so it's a tough conversation to have with patients sometimes to say, hey, you're going to need to have a tummy tuck. And nobody really wants to hear that, but you get a much better result and you pay a little bit more for it in the immediate as far as recovery goes. But the result is much more superior for the appropriate patient.
Okay, so that's lipo tummy tuck.
Have we talked about body enough for you today? Are you starting to itch?
Yes. So we are going to move on to our next topic, which is
in the news.
So there's a couple articles that I have that I'd like to discuss. The one is, I don't know how I find these articles, but I come across so much throughout the week. A British man, the title of the article is A British Man Is Not Able to Close His Eyes After a Botched Surgery. So, you know, I hate the word botched. Mm-hmm. It's become like this like sensationalized term.
Well, botched and butchered are both
that
triggers.
People just like throw yes. around, you know, unnecessarily. But so it tells this story and it's more than just the headline because it goes back into how he had puffiness to his cheeks that he got from a dental treatment in 1959. His ex-wife labeled him ugly. That's probably why she's an ex now, because of this condition. And he vowed to get rid of this ugliness, but only to be confronted with this larger problem. So I think many will read the article being like, oh my God, this is horrifying. He can't close his eyes.
Wait, he couldn't close his eyes because he had puffy cheeks?
No, he had a blepharoplasty.
For puffy cheeks?
Well, he had a facelift, blepharoplasty, rhinoplasty. I don't know what the cheek thing was.
Okay.
This article is kind of all over the place. But it begs the sort of question, like, does this happen? And the answer is yes. It can absolutely happen if your blepharoplasty, your eyelid surgeon, removes too much of your upper eyelid skin. So if it's not measured correctly, if it's not carefully drawn out, absolutely, you can remove too much. Now, sometimes this is transient. Most of the time, thankfully, it's transient, or else you'd have probably a lot of people walking around with like eyes they couldn't close. But a lot of the times it can be due to swelling or, you know, incisional contraction, in which case they have you tape the eyes, etc. And over time, it loosens up. But sure, that can be a very frustrating experience if it lasts weeks to months for somebody. And I've seen a couple patients for secondary consultations that have had blepharoplasties that they haven't had extreme lack of eye closure. It's almost been like if they close their eyes, there's like a little sliver that remains. And unfortunately...
Enough to give them like dry eye when they're sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, there's not much to do for that other than lubricating the eyes. There's humidity chambers, which are little like eye chambers you can wear at night to maintain the moisture on your eye.
Well, you can open the incisions and skin graft them. I mean, that's like the most severe...
Yeah, that's for like a really severe condition. But thankfully... Knock on wood, and we do have a wood table, so I'm knocking on it right now. You know, I measure things very carefully. I'm very conservative with those types of things, and I have not run into that problem. So I wish him the best of luck in his journey to be able to close his eyes, because apparently his video is marching around social media, which I have yet to find.
Well, you can't sneak up on him while he's sleeping.
Oh, God. That's true. So the next article is actually something that was... published from the University of Tsukuba. I don't know where that is. I meant to look it up before the podcast, but either way, it's a very academic place. And the article is entitled, Can We Go From Scarface to Scarless? And they were doing research on an adult newt. And they were doing sort of excisions of skin on various parts of the body.
Oh, poor newt.
And the poor little newt, but... this newt possesses the power to rapidly heal.
But aren't newts are like lizards, right?
They're in the family.
So lizards can like grow a tail back. So this is not a good subject. Newts, I would not think this is a good subject to do skin excisions because they can like grow a tail back.
Well, I don't know if they're related to lizards. I'm not going to start circulating that rumor. I don't have time to fact check that.
Okay.
So either way, this is a newt, not a lizard we're talking about. So don't come for us if the lizard is not part of the newt family or vice versa. But they found evidence that it actually was able to regenerate scarless. Now, the one issue that they had was the skin color did not always match. Because, you know, they're kind of like speckled a lot of the time.
Like chameleons, like lizards.
Maybe, perhaps. But it, like, the skin did not have any scars related to it. So they're using this as a model to potentially, you know, translate to humans in the future. Because you and I have this debate all the time with scars. You don't like to call them scars. I like to call them what they are. An incision that's healed is a scar. It could be a beautiful scar, but it's going to be a scar, right?
Anytime you take a knife to the skin, you're going to leave a mark. I think scar makes it seem like you're going to be disfigured, like Scarface. It's an incision. And if you take care of it, most patients will heal with
a visible incision.
I just don't like the word scar. Let me just say, I just looked up on the internet.
Uh-oh.
Most people confuse newts and lizards as they can be similar in size and color, but lizards have scaly skin, whereas newts possess smooth skin.
Well, this adult newt specifically, the genus was Synops pyrogaster, if anybody's interested. So I think it you know, starts the conversation or continues the conversation into, can we improve wound healing? And I do think that we have very far to go. There's some exciting new research coming out. We happen to be taking part in a formulation that is being produced by a university, which I can't disclose at the moment, that has been bottling very high quality growth factors that we're going to be studying closely on post laser resurfacing to see if it helps healing. So there's a ton of things in the pipeline for healing. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to another topic on the face, which is when is it the right time to start injectables? And when we say the term injectables, we mean not only your Botox or your Dysport, which is your neuromodulators or your wrinkle relaxers, but fillers as well, because there's a common misconception that you only get fillers or you only need volume replacement if you're old or getting older or losing collagen, et cetera. And that's Or have really bad wrinkles, exactly. So I think the short of it is, you know, everyone has some type of predisposition genetically with their facial anatomy. And if you are genetically predisposed to, for instance, have mid-face volume loss, either from your parents or maybe you're a runner and you have mid-face volume loss that you have caused over time.
Well, there are a lot of young people who have what's called mid-face hypoplasia. And exactly. So that's really a skeletal...
That's bony.
Yeah, that's a skeletal issue where they almost have, you know, a lot of these people will have what they call an underbite, where their top teeth don't stick out as far as their bottom teeth, and they really lack volume. They almost have like a spoon-shaped face, and they're young.
I mean, yes, and there's versatility with fillers. You know, if someone, like you said, has that type 2 malocclusion, mm-hmm. where they do have a little bit of an underbite, and subsequently have a very recessed chin, if they're in lieu of an implant, sometimes dermal fillers works beautifully. Now, you don't have to be 50 to get a chin, because your chin's been like that your whole life most of the time. So I have many 20, 30-year-olds that come in for jawline and chin filler to build up, augment their jaw, and kind of contour their face. And that's really what filler is meant to do. Aside from the basics of volumization, you're contouring the face, regardless of what area you're working on, whether it's the cheeks, the jawline, the lips.
Yeah, it really helps with facial proportions. I mean, I just saw a 27-year-old guy the other day who had a really nice little defined chin, but then it kind of laterally, it just fell off. So he had what we call the pre-jowl sulcus. And he felt like he didn't have a strong jawline, but it was really because his chin had good projection and then his jaw just kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. And filling that little area right to the sides of the chin, kind of under the corners of the mouth along the jawline, it gave him a much squarer chin and gave him a jawline. And he's a young guy that you would think, well, you're way too young to have filler, but we're using that to give him better proportions.
The other part of injectables actually is your injectable collagen stimulators, mm-hmm. which are Sculptra and a little more recently, Hyperdilute Radiesse. Two different products, but they both can be used as collagen stimulators. And as depressing of a statistic as it is, we all start losing collagen almost 1% a year starting at the age of 30. So we are literally melting like candles on a daily basis. And we
That's
have to
so depressing.
Just, I know it's a depressing statistic, but we have answers for it. We have solutions and it's great. So Sculptra and all those injectable collagen stimulators, people in their 30s, it's more than appropriate to get started with it. But you're not getting the same amount as someone in their 50s and 60s.
That's right.
That's the thing. That's the only difference. But it is not wrong to consider doing something like that in your 30s to get started on the aging process and get ahead of it.
Wouldn't you say that for young people who are getting filler, and I'm talking about young people like late 20s, early 30s, jawline, cheeks, tear troughs are probably the three most common thing, and lips.
Lips. I was going to say lips.
Yeah, that we're doing filler for.
Lips are a big one. And especially in the younger population, you know, there's so many shapes and sizes to lips. So I don't want to generalize them. But younger patients typically have more volume. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a plumping, accentuating their natural borders type of filler versus someone that's a little bit older, maybe will have perioral lines around their mouth, the perioral wrinkles like the smoker's lines, less volume, less lip show that needs a little bit more structure to their lip.
But some people just don't have lips. I mean, they're born that way.
Well, some people that don't, if you don't have a lip, chances are filler's not that great for you. And, you know, that's where the lip lift conversation comes into play, which we've talked about.
Yeah, if you go back a couple of episodes, mm-hmm. we've talked about lip lift. Check that out.
Check it out. Yes. So the other thing is for injectables is your Botox or your Dysport.
Which people come in all the time. I mean, I see women and men in their 20s all the time who say, I don't know if I'm too young for this. And then they lift up their eyebrows and they have these really deep lines across their forehead when they're animating. And that's when we're telling them, you know, you can make lines when you're animating. We don't want those lines to stick around when you're not animating. So that's where prejuvenation comes in.
Prejuvenation. And if you think about it, these are dynamic lines. So the more that you're dynamically moving, the deeper these lines are going to get with time. So it doesn't mean you can't erase the lines if you let them go a little bit longer, but it does help to kind of get started on it. You know, there's this annoying term that's been around for probably 5 to 7 years called baby Botox. And it's a marketing trend.
That's annoying.
And I think all of these things, I really like to call things what they are. Maybe that makes me a really bad marketing person, but baby Botox is basically less Botox than what the average person gets.
Because you're just trying to relax those lines.
Yeah. So occasionally I have people come in saying, what's baby Botox? Am I a candidate? And I say, you're a candidate for probably less than the average person, which means that you're just going to get less units.
But it's still a Botox treatment.
It is still a Botox treatment. You're still getting Botox. I don't know if it makes them feel better that they're getting baby Botox. But yeah, so younger people on average get less units than someone that's older that may have deeper wrinkles, harder muscles to treat, etc. But there's so much versatility with the injectable market, and we actually have very exciting things that are in the pipeline probably in the next 1 to 2 years with injectables, with different types of fillers that are going to get introduced to the US market. And I think we're going to be taking part in a couple of clinical trials with it. So very exciting sort of organic fillers that may be coming out.
Well, I mean, I think all of this goes back to, you want to take care of your skin, you want to look good, and it's not a one and done or one treatment thing. I mean, we really see our younger patients and we say to them, you need to be on good skincare. You need to use sunscreen.
Skincare always, always, always.
You need to be getting facials. You need to, you know, you can get microneedling treatments to help shrink your pore size, a little bit of volumization to balance your face, a little bit of wrinkle relaxation to keep you from having deep lines. This is all really part of the cosmetic aesthetic milieu that women and men of all ages are now consuming.
It's a maintenance program right. for a reason. It is not a one-size-fits-all. So, okay, good. Well, that sort of wraps up our Sunday afternoon of The Blade and Beyond. Some exciting things this evening. I am experimenting with sous vide, different concoctions. I'm making basically an entire Indian smorgasbord with sous vide, which
you got me
for Christmas. So I'm super excited about that.
And I have to say, I'm a little bit traumatized.
From?
I happened across Squid Game on Netflix, and I couldn't stop watching. And this is like in the middle of the season where they're like fighting over marbles or something. But the violence in Squid Game, I'm going to have nightmares about this.
This is the same thing with you every single time. I start a series. I'm not interested. So I get started. I wake up early on a Sunday morning. I get my coffee with the dogs. I start watching. You roll down and you start watching, and then you can't step away from it.
It was like watching a car accident. I couldn't stop watching, but every time somebody got shot, I turned to you and I was like, are they going to show this every single time?
Yes.
I couldn't do it. I don't think I can do it again.
You're going to do it in about 35 minutes because we're going to watch episode 7. Okay, perfect.
Okay, everybody. So we've got a big week coming up. Please DM us on Instagram. Follow us at our Instagram handles or DC Dynamic Duo. Send us DMs. Tell us what you want to hear. We do have our big announcement coming up in a couple of weeks. And stay tuned for that. Have a good week. Stay safe. Don't get COVID.
Bye-bye.
And get vaccinated.
That's a wrap. Remember to share the podcast with your friends. Follow the docs on Instagram at SomnicMD, at Dr. Troy Pittman, and at DC Dynamic Duo. To learn more about the procedures discussed on today's podcast, visit www.SomnicPittmanMD.com. That's www.SomnicPittmanMD.com.